Hello again, and welcome back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word. We are a hand car washing business located on Highway 11 in Church Hill. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can come by and let my wife and I wash your car by hand, clean out the inside. We do full details, mobile details, and also, while you're there, the ministry part of this business is taking place. We play this message and the others from this week on a loop, and they play all day long during open business hours right here in the parking lot of the Wash and Word. They transmit about 150 feet, and you can tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear this message along with the other messages of this week playing on a loop all day long. We also invite you to come back here at 8:30 every morning, Monday through Friday, on this radio station, WMCH, and there you can hear these messages when they're being broadcast. Finally, if you go to the website, washandword.com, you can find out all the information about the business, about the ministry, the vision, and all these messages that are preached are archived online on the webpage as well. Now, being that we are a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, and that would be in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We're in the we're in the story of the crippled man who lie for 38 years at the gate, the sheep's gate, waiting to be healed. And Jesus walked up to him and saw him there, and would learned that he had been there for a long time. And he asked him, this was in our last teaching, he says, he says, do you want to get well? And we looked at that as an interesting question. Why would Jesus even ask that question? I mean, obviously the man wants to get well. It's just he couldn't get into the water in time for the healing. And so we kind of dissected that question a little bit more yesterday. Excuse me. Do you want to get well? And you would think that that's just an obvious answer to an obvious question. But the truth is, in the world around us, there are so many people living with their infirmities, whether it be physical sickness or the infirmity of a hard heart, or the infirmity of a strong-willed mind, the infirmity of self-reliance. I mean, all of these things, people live with the consequences of these things and the burdens that they carry. And you would think that, hey, you know, we're offering something that could free you of all of these troubles and all of these responsibilities, and can kind of just free you of the burden of carrying everything around. Yet there are so many people who refuse the Lord, and it's kind of mind-boggling. I've been a Christian for almost 40 years, and as a result, you know, I forget what it's like to not need the Lord, but out there are plenty. And so this question, do you want to get well? Yeah, you know, it's posed every day to thousands, maybe millions of people in one form or another. And yet there are people that are still just wallowing in their misery. So Jesus asking this question, the man responds in verse 7. He says this, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And I think we covered this in the last teaching briefly, but the legend had it that the pool would bubble up and the waters would churn, and they believed that it was an angel coming down and churning up the waters, and then the first person to get in after the churning, they would be healed of whatever sickness they had. And you know, on a scientific level, I'm not saying God didn't or doesn't do those kind of things, but it was probably some kind of a geyser underneath this pool, and it would erupt on a regular basis, just like Old Faithful does in Yellowstone National Park. But nevertheless, the idea here was that the man, it says that, you know, Jesus asked him a question, and he kind of came up with an answer that was out of left field. He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And all the man said was, "He has no way of getting into the water." Now, this man, we have to assume, wanted to get better. I mean, he's been there for 38 years. I'm sure he's tried every human thing possible. And so he states his desire. Yes, I do want to get well. And then he states his problem. and now also stating his reliance upon the only one who could help him. Where are you today, I might ask? You know, are you still striving in the power of your own might? Are you still determined that you will walk on your own strength? You know, this man, you know, yes, last teaching we talked about getting to a point where we admit our hopelessness. These are the people Jesus came to help, the hopeless and the helpless, those who admit and who understand and know that on their own they cannot do it. And this man is there, but we have to ask ourselves the same question. You know, are we tired and of trying to live our own lives? Are we too exhausted sometimes, like this guy here, to even get up and move? And like this man, are we ready to just give up and give it over to Jesus? Now, I could assume that on any given Sunday morning, you all look great. You know, you put on your Sunday best and you put on your smiles and you go off to church and you exchange oral pleasantries. And this goes on in the churches nationwide, but underneath all of that, there's a different story being told often, isn't there? You know, Dick just found out he has cancer, but still smiles and says, "Hey, how you doing today?" And Jane is being sued for a car accident, but she's still helping out in the children's ministry. And Gloria is in foreclosure, even though she greets everyone with a smile. And Paul's wife just left him, and Peter just lost his 401k, and Robert was rudely told that he's not a very good singer. And, you know, these are just fictitious examples, but, you know, Jesus might be saying the same thing to you and I today. Do you want to be healed? And before we look at what Jesus said to him, let's look at what he did not say, because I think a lot of us tend to, you know, we tend to feel the need to bring an answer to somebody who's hurting or somebody who's more or less fortunate than we are at the time. And I think it's important to remember that sometimes it isn't what we say, but it's what we don't say. And I tell you, take a look here. Jesus, I'll tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, "Well, chin up, sir. I'm sure things are going to get better for you." Or he didn't insert scripture cliche as in, "Oh, don't worry, God will only put on you only that which you can bear." Or he didn't say to him, "Chin up, God works all things out for good." Or he didn't say, "Cheer up, because with God all things are possible." He didn't throw a Bible cliche at him. He also didn't say, "I will help you the next time the pool stirs up." You know, Jesus isn't in the next time business, he's in the now business. And if you meet somebody who's truly in need of help or is struggling, you don't say, "I'll pray for you." You pray with them right then and there. You don't say, "I'll keep you in my prayers," or, you know, "Next time I see you, we'll try to..." No, you try to act at the moment. Another thing Jesus didn't say is, "Well, at least let me bring you a pillow while you lie here." You know, a lot of us will throw money at a problem, or you know, we'll do a donation, or, you know, anything that doesn't involve our personal involvement. And another thing Jesus did not say was, "Let me tell you about the power of positive thinking." You know, every time, and I say that loosely because I didn't look up every single time, but from memory serving, every time Jesus did some sort of healing or he forgave sins, he placed a charge along with that. Do you remember that? Like sometimes the healee, the one being healed, was to do something. To the woman, he said, "Go and, you know, go and sin no more." And to, I guess it was the, I think it was the man with leprosy. He after he healed him, he said, "Don't tell anyone yet." And another man who was healed, he said, "Go and tell the priests at the temple." And so every time Jesus did a healing or a forgiving, there was something attached to it, a charge for the person who's been healed. And I believe that the reason for this is to promote progress. That is to move forward. Because how often after we see God move in our lives, you know, God answers that prayer and we just forget so quick. Or God moves in our lives and so soon after that we begin to question or doubt maybe the reality of it. Was it really God that moved? You know, God is the same today as he was yesterday and as he will be forever. And for every victory he gives us and every healing that Jesus did, it was a full healing and a full forgiveness. And so today, since God does not change, every healing and every act of overcoming for you is a full and forever healing. If Jesus has set you free, then brothers and sisters, you are free indeed. Now, look at the profundity of Jesus' answer to him. Verse 8 and 9a, Jesus says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked." Now, I stopped right there because there's some interesting things to note about the answer that Jesus gave to him. And the first thing is this. Jesus proclaims the impossible. "Get up," he tells the man. Well, the man thinking, that's impossible. I've been trying to get up for probably my whole life, or we know for at least 38 years. That could have been his whole life. But Jesus proclaims the impossible. First, he presents to him an assumingly odd question. "Do you want to get healed?" Now, he presents to him an assumingly odd request. "Get up." And Jesus does the same thing today. How many people, how many times have cried out, "I will never lose weight," or "I will never be able to overcome this addiction. I'm never going to be able to stop this repeated sin. I can never change my old ways." And to do so seems impossible. My friends, Jesus is in the impossible business. You know, the Bible says with God, what? All things are what? Yeah, possible. So there is no impossible with God. In fact, the word itself is, "I'm possible." So when Jesus calls us to remove a thing that our faith is immediately transferred from ourselves to him. Do you get that? See, when Jesus steps in, when it's him that's helping us to remove that thing or heal us from that thing, immediately our faith is transferred from ourselves to him, from our own power to his. The idea of him getting up was preposterous to the man at the pool. He tried a million times and had failed. But now, faith in his self-effort has been transferred to faith in the Son of God. And friends, isn't that really the only way that we are ever going to overcome anything? Transferring faith in self to faith in Jesus. You know, I joke around with my kids a lot. I'm a joking kind of dad, but they know when I'm serious. There's no question about it. I have that ability to be serious when I need to. And with Jesus, there was something about Jesus when he spoke. People did what he said. That authority. And I'm going to close by saying to you, if God is calling you into something today, if he's calling you to step out into it, to step out on faith, or he's calling you to line up your will with God's will, guess what? The book says, John says in 14:14, "If you ask of me anything in my name, I will do it." And in 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And that is why we pray in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not going to gloss over those two scriptures, because asking for something in Jesus' name and asking for something in God's will are directly correlated. And we'll pick up tomorrow's teaching briefly talking about that. And we'll continue looking at the transcript of Jesus and this invalid man. Till then, we invite you to join us back here again at 8:30 next business day. And also come by the Wash and Word in the Powell Shopping Center in Church Hill. Let us wash your car to earn the money to support this ministry. And we love you. We just hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.